I'm going to talk about the American College of Physicians guidelines for A1C treatment targets in patients with type 2 diabetes. Now, first of all, I'm just going to tell you that I disagree with what they say. I and all of the major organizations that involve endocrinologists in this country disagree with what they have to say. But I'm not just going to be argumentative. I'm going to discuss ways in which I think that they're correct and which ways I think that they're incorrect. So first off, the first point is that you should individualize targets, and I can't agree more. I think every patient deserves an individualized target. But then they have three more recommendations, which I think go way off the rails. And the reason I think these recommendations go off the rails is because not only are they looking at other guidelines, they look at six other guidelines and then try to take those guidelines and from those guidelines create their own guidelines. I believe they actually look at studies incorrectly and come up with conclusions that actually aren't germane for today's way of treating patients with type 2 diabetes. But to set the record straight, one of the things they're very concerned about is hypoglycemia risk and weight gain. One of the things I'm very concerned about is hypoglycemia and weight gain. And in all of the older studies, that was a big risk. But I can also tell you that now we have drugs that don't cause hypoglycemia and weight gain, and we actually have drugs for the treatment of type 2 diabetes that reduce both cardiovascular risk as well as progression of nephropathy. So I think that the way the world looks for the treatment of type 2 diabetes now versus then, when the studies they're quoting were done, is really a different world. Now, you might say we don't have lots of good long-term data looking at this, but I think we actually have a lot of data that can inform us. So what do I think? Well, I think less is better, and that's actually one of their points. They say if someone's A1C is too low and they're getting hypoglycemia weight gain, well, back off. And again, I couldn't agree more. You don't want to cause hypoglycemia, and you don't want to cause weight gain, and you don't want to set unreasonable expectations for an older patient. However, we know irrefutably that reducing A1Cs, and ideally to below 7, is associated with reduction in diabetic retinopathy, nephropathy, and neuropathy. And I can tell you that if you ask a patient what's their goal, for many, they'll say, I don't want to go blind or I don't want to have an amputation. And I've seen patients suffer terribly from diabetic neuropathy. So if I have a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old with new-onset disease who I think does not have a number of limiting comorbidities, they may well live long enough, longer than 10 years, longer than 20 years, maybe even longer than 30 years, and they may actually individually say, I want my target to be less than 7 so that I avoid those complications. Yes, in an older patient, as patients become in their 80s and 90s, it seems to me fine to reduce those targets, and I do that all the time. I have lots of patients where my target A1C is 7.5% because that's appropriate for them. But I think when you look at a population and you make recommendations, you're really looking across an age span. And again, if we're talking about diabetic microvascular complications, you want a lower A1C, and that's a target for many people. I also would argue that we can't actually know how long someone's going to live. So not that long ago, I had a clinic where, say, 5 out of the 10 patients I saw that morning were older than the age of 90. That was pretty impressive. And you know what? They were all cognitively functioning mid-90-year-olds. And sure, I don't have an A1C target of less than 7 in those individuals. But had I changed my target 15 years before, I might have really missed out in preventing the complications that, frankly, they don't now have. So I think you have to think about what you're trying to do. I think you're trying to avoid hypoglycemia and weight gain. I think you're trying to avoid polypharmacy in so much as it may be bad for the patient. But I think that now we have agents that can control diabetes without the hypoglycemia and weight gain that we saw in prior studies, along with cardiovascular disease benefit. And I know cost matters, but just ideally, when you're writing guidelines, I think you should be looking at perhaps what's best for the patient in terms of prevention of complications. And I think in an ideal world, if we could give patients an agent that we've already proved have dual benefit in terms of A1C reduction, as well as cardiovascular disease reduction, that you may not actually want to reduce that agent as patients get older. So think about the agents you're using. Think about the patients and their risk and benefits, individualized targets, and remember, preventing microvascular complications is really related to glucose levels. Mortality, cardiovascular disease, et cetera, are more related to a host of other risk factors, and tight control early helps reduce those complications as well. But for many patients, you're not going to reduce that risk by lowering glucose levels. You're going to reduce it by other means, and maybe using a diabetes medication that does both. This is Dr. Ann Peters for Medscape. Thank you.